And the background music of Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. We're now at 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon. We're at 74 degrees here in central Minnesota. Beautiful sunshine on the great outdoors. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, and 107.7 FM now on your radio dial. A beautiful morning in Chasm Land. It's time for our 157th program here on KASM, and we have our guest in studios this morning. We say good morning to Al Cullough. How are you doing, Al?
I'm great, and so is the weather.
Well, there you go. We are not complaining about that.
Nope.
For sure. Nice. And we have his lovely wife, Marge, in the studios, too, this morning. My old babysitter. How's Marge doing?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. All righty. Well, Al, we had you on a few years back here. I think you were number 62 back in those days. Now we're up to 157. And talked a little bit how you got started. I think you're heralded as the first student that Tony and Betty ever taught on concertina,
that's
huh?
That's right. They just started way back in 1955, and they had their first display over at, which is now Corky's Bar, Gil Style, I think, owned it at that time.
Okay.
And from there, it grew.
Sure. How old were you when you first started picking up that concertina?
Boy, I was out of high school already, so I had to be... 18, 19 for sure.
Sure, sure. And what tripped your interest? Were you good friends with Tony and Betty, or how did
you? Well, no. It started way back before that already. A couple of years before that, I always did like the concertina music, and I played harmonica for so many years before that. And then I decided I was going to interest in the concertina, and Christy Engels was playing with the Bruno Randall band that time.
Oh, yes.
And he'd come to the Coliseum, and then we'd talk, and he said, well, he says, I got one I'll bring along. Well, then next time we came down there, no, he forgot it. Then he's going to be at Numidic a couple of weeks later, so I run up there, and he forgot it again. And that's the way it kept going. And then in December of 55, then Tony and Betty had their first display at Gilbert Stiles Bar there in Richmond. And that's where he went, and that's where he picked it up. And we had an old accordion we were going to trade off, but Tony wasn't interested in that.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. And all this was back before they had the Deutschmeister band, too.
Oh, yes.
So they
just,
were...
just didn't start it, yeah.
Tony was, what, working as a mechanic back in those days?
Yeah, he worked there for a mechanic. And then when they got into the music business, he sort of got out of that, too.
Sure,
so
sure.
He just did the music, and that was it.
But back in those days, they did a lot of two-piece jobs.
Yeah, they were playing at Habs Blue Blazer
down in St. Cloud. Yeah.
Quite a while there. They
were, oh, yes. Yeah.
And then they played other jobs around, yeah.
Okay. So then, then you learned the concertina, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, here you are, the leader of the Merrymakers band, huh?
Yeah, that started in 57. We started with 57. Just a three-piece. You know?
Uh-huh.
And then we went all the way up to 1960, then I went into the service.
Uh-huh.
Then I came out of there, and 61 is when I started the six-piece band.
Okay. What division were you in?
It's Army Reserves.
Army Reserves. Okay. Okay. Were you across or just
in the States?
States. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Well, very good. And so then you came back and got the band going full swing. And boy, those years were really good, huh?
Oh, yeah. See, that's when we first started out three-piece, we were playing just clubs, small clubs and bars and stuff. And then all these wedding dances started popping up during the week. And we thought, well, probably going to get on some of those. So that's what they did. Then I went to a six-piece band. And then I played all those that time. And,
sure.
Then the big New Orleans bands, they came and they played the big regular dances. Like,
right.
Coliseum on Sundays and Richmond on Wednesday and Numidic on a Thursday. And I think even Sauk Center had a regular dance where they had all the big New Orleans bands or the bigger bands in the area.
Sure. So besides playing those jobs, then you were taking in some of these dances whenever you weren't playing too yet.
Yeah, that's right.
You had to
do them too. So
absolutely, and some great proprietors back in those days.
Oh, yeah,
I remember Webb Daniels and Cy Sockery.
They were the best.
Oh, weren't they?
Not saying that the others weren't good, but
yep.
They were all good. They were all good ballroom operators that time. They knew the business and stuff. And,
absolutely.
And they ran a good dance hall business. Yeah.
How far and wide did you travel, Al? Back
we
in the
didn't
days?
Travel that wide because we had to be home and work the next day.
Sure.
So, we would travel probably like Brainerd, probably be the farthest, and we played the Elgon Ballroom way back then.
Alexandria.
That was
yep.
on a Thursday night, and they usually had a double wedding dance every time we played there.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's always people there, and then Wilmer, down Wilmer area, and then I think Monticello was about the farthest we
went. South that you went,
and
okay.
then after that, farther than that, we did travel. And we went to Ogilvie quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And that area, and that's about the scope
sure.
of it, yeah.
So, now, what did you do for occupation?
Well, we worked on a farm yet. Mm-hmm. We ran the family farm. Dad had a car accident, and he was disabled for life, so the kids were all trying to run that. So
sure.
we all ran it up until they got rid of it.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and we even did that. So the nights I wasn't playing, I was cultivating corn or making hay until dark.
Praying for rain, huh?
Praying for rain every day.
Yes, yes. Then you also got into, what, construction too for a while?
Yeah, I started in 1961. I worked out already.
We worked
at the State College, putting all the dormitories up.
Oh, really?
So we were working on the 4 stories and the 9 stories dormitories down there. So
now, who'd you work for there?
Wall construction.
Okay.
For 11 years we worked there.
Anyway. Okay. Very good. And then making music on weekends and evenings in between.
Yeah. And then going out Sunday night. Yeah.
Well, and that kind of propels us up to the reason you're here today. All those great memories, all those great years with the Merrymakers, all of a sudden you got the itch to have a memory, huh?
Yes. We decided this year we're probably going to make a CD of it. And it was a 50th wedding anniversary. I thought I'd make one and then would use it on the anniversary. So
nice.
So that's what we done, and it worked out fairly good. So
okay. Now I have a suspicion. I don't think I ever found out, but how'd you and Marge ever meet?
Well, it's a long story. Not a long story, really. I went over to Security Printing. That was that time, Marge.
Yes.
Security Printing. I went into. I had to get some ledgers to keep my bookwork for the band.
Uh huh.
In order and stuff like that, because we had to make out filed income tax and all that stuff on the stuff. So I went in there to get a ledger and stuff that I could use, and
mm-hmm.
she happened to be the salesman for me.
Okay, there you go. And set the hook, and you were hooked
for
life. There you go.
It wasn't so bad, but
no.
It was on a Friday night, and I was going to go to the fairgrounds, and she was heading to the same place.
Oh, well, there you go. So
we went there, and we danced together and stuff.
Sure.
And finally met, and yeah.
Well, so you didn't actually meet at the dance hall, but it took you to the dance hall. So
it was both there. Yeah.
We were both
going to the same place.
And that's kind of where I was going with this, because my wife and I met at the Granite City Coliseum, and a lot of people, that was where they met back in the days. That was kind of the neat thing.
That
Richmond,
was, yeah.
all Spring Hill, all those good ballrooms, and very few of them left, but it was a good place to spend some social time and meet a person. Yeah.
In those days... especially on the weddings during the week, you know, if you didn't see your friends at one dance hall, you just drive 7-8 miles down the road, and you probably found them there because they were invited to a wedding or something there, and they were there. So,
well, I used to do a segment here on Sunday mornings for a while before we got this Musicians Come and Play program started. I used to take a little simulated trip to the various dance halls, listening to the music through the screen door.
Sure.
And that's what we did. There was no air conditioning back in those years.
We opened the door.
And Dad, of course, drummed for the Deutschmeisters all those years. But once in a while, they'd hit a Friday or Saturday night off. And he loved to load up. Well, there was 9 of us, 9 kids. We had a 9-passenger station wagon. And he'd get everybody and Mom piled in the wagon. And we'd drive from Avon to Richmond to St. Cloud and pull in for a half hour and listen. And it was so entertaining back in those days.
Yes. But then daylight saving time, I don't know when that came about.
Yeah.
And then I was really surprising to me, one of the first dates I had doing that.
Uh-huh.
We had a job at Cedar Point, and here we started at 9 o'clock, and we hit the first number off and started playing, and I looked out the window, and there's a farmer still baling hay right next to the
ballroom.
So... And he didn't get there till 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
He had to get his bailing done first.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, some wonderful memories over the years. Who were some of the bands that you really enjoyed listening to when you weren't working yourself?
The band I really liked was the Babe Wagner Band.
Babe Wagner?
With Donny Kloster playing.
Yes.
That was, those days, that was my top band.
Oh, okay. And they did come into the area, too, didn't they?
Elmer Scheid was another one. They were all great bands.
Oh,
Jerry Schuff is another great player. They were all good musicians.
Absolutely.
They were unbelievable.
Absolutely.
But Babe Wagner was my favorite.
Okay. Well, we got a little bit sidetracked there. We were talking about your brand new CD, Al, and you put that together. You had it produced at Hammond Media, I believe, in St.
Yes.
Cloud.
Yes, yeah.
And did a great job. I've listened to it already, mixed nice. A lot of that was live recordings, huh?
They were all live recordings with a little tape recorder sitting right on my music stand.
Really? Wow.
And then I taped it off of that, and I really didn't take too much interest for years. And then finally I thought, well, I'm going to look into it and see just what it sounded like those days yet. And picked it out, and well, then I started putting this together, and this is what it is.
Sure, sure. And good that you did, because, you know, if you had probably to do it over again, a person would have went into the studio and recorded one back in those years. But
well, either that or had them come out and do the live one right at the stage.
Right.
You could have more microphones and you could control everything more better
sure.
than what it did, you know.
Yeah.
Just this one little mic took care of everything.
Isn't that something? And I'll tell you, it's a very, very good recording. So it's good, you know, within mind that that's all you had to work with back in those days. And so good that you have that memory, because we know that we're not going to be here for another 100 years or whatever.
All right.
And so this way your legacy will live on, and that's good
and
to know.
Throughout the years, people have been asking if we ever made one and stuff like that. And I got a brother-in-law. He says he needs one for his combine, so I had to make one for him.
Well, there you go. That's awesome. You bet. A couple of those recordings now were recorded with the Deutschmeisters. They did a neat thing that time, didn't they?
Yeah, they, Tony and Betty, they wanted some of their students to be on a recording, and that's where we all came involved in that. So
you bet.
And there was quite a few students that she had recorded.
Yeah, as I recall, Arlene Tyson was on there. She was a concertina player. Yeah. Yourself, myself, I did a couple of numbers on there. Yeah. Andy Stangler.
Terry Thielen,
and the TNTs.
Maynard Nate.
Maynard was on there. I think it was Doreen on there, too. Doreen Kulzer?
Doreen Kulzer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope we're not forgetting anybody. We don't mean to slight anybody, but that one is on the Deutschmeisters and Friends. And that was just a neat gesture, I thought, of Tony and Betty. They did so much for music, didn't they?
They really did a lot for Central Minnesota, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
If it wouldn't be for them, I don't think it would never develop.
No. They made
took it, and they got the word out, and they did the business, and they did a good job.
Well, when I talk to musicians all around the country, and I do get to talk to quite a few of them nowadays, and they say, "Who are you?" You know, and then I'll say, "Well, I started out with the Deutschmeisters, Tony and Betty." Oh yeah, I know them. So they were known across the nation, really, really well. So definitely did a lot of good for all of us.
Right.
Well, if we can ask you to hold that thought for a minute, Al, we've reached 12 o'clock here, so I'm going to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back with you and continue the conversation. So, Cy here with the St. Joe Meat Market, one of the finest meat markets around, and coming up a week from today is Father's Day. It's time to switch things up. Instead of the usual necktie, why not come out to the St. Joe Meat Market and buy Dad one of those delicious steaks for on the grill? And while you're at it, maybe one for yourself. Yum! And the brat of the week this week, it's a good one. The smoked Hawaiian-style brat made with pork and beef, real chunks of ham, real pineapple, nectar, and coconut. This week, you can try some, taking 30 cents per pound off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. Yes, take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. Cooking and serving at the brat sale out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market coming up this weekend. It's going to be the St. Joe Men's Knights of Columbus. Come out on Friday from 9 to 5, Saturday from 9 to 4, and show your support for our great organization while enjoying a brat and a beverage. Always more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, so like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. That's the St. Joe Meat Market, and happy Father's Day. And Al and Margie, for being our guest here on the program, and you know how it works. You've been here before. Got a nice meat package sitting out there on the counter for you. We brought along today for you. You take that along and hope you enjoy that in good health. How's that for you?
Thank you, sir.
You are very welcome. That's from the gang at the meat market and, of course, Chasm Radio here. So
it's always the best.
There we go. And, for a good number of years, Chasm and the St. Joe Meat Market, they've been promoting old-time music I remember back in the days, Dad, celebrating 25 years at the meat market, hired Tony and Betty to play on the back loading dock there, and boy, that was a big celebration. And, of course, Chasm. Did you ever get up here in those days, Al, when Chasm did the Saturday afternoon radio shows?
Not really.
Oh, you didn't. I know Tony and Betty did that for a number of years. Yeah. Dad got up here. Yep. They'd play for half hour in the studio and then pack things up and play a dance job later that day. So, yeah, that was life in the fast lane. Well, mention some of the great merrymakers over the years, Al. I know I got to play with you a couple of times when you were short a trumpet player or so, but who are some of the guys that helped you out all these years?
Well, Mel Mayer was one of my, well, and the second drummer that I had. Victor Blundigan was first, and Jerry Blundigan played trumpet.
They were brothers?
They were brothers.
They were brothers, okay.
And they played, well, Victor played till he went to the service, and then Mel Mayer took it over. And he got sort of the drums dumped on him because Victor was a real good friend of Mel. So he picked up the drums and he gave them to Mel. Here, you got to go play with Al, he says. So Melvin got sort of dumped into it, but
turned out to be a heck of a good drummer.
One of the good drummers around this area.
Yes. And still playing it. I know he's still working.
He's still got a few jobs with different bands. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, you bet.
So. And then later, there were different players I had throughout the years. And most of them were going to college and stuff. I had a lot of kids.
College people, huh?
People that went to college. Tom Knapp, he used to be the judge in St. Cloud.
Yeah.
He was one of my earlier players.
Sax player, yeah.
And then Tim Jarno, well, he was a music teacher for many years, and then he played with the Metalcore band.
Oh, yes.
And he sort of retired from all that, and he just toured. I just called him. He's down in Texas visiting his grandkids down there. So
okay.
So he's moving around and golfing pretty much nowadays.
Sure.
Then we had a gal, Cindy Larson was her name, and she's on a few of these tapes, too, here. She plays the trumpet and vocals and stuff, and you'll probably hear her once in a while
She's
on there
a
too.
Teacher.
Okay.
And she turned out to be a music teacher too. So
okay.
Then we had Norman Scheer drum with us for quite a few years in between there too.
And, yeah.
And that was when Mel was playing for the Harlanders. Then,
sure.
Norman played with me. And then
sure.
When Harlan sort of got out of it again, then Melvin came back. So.
Sure.
And it worked out fine.
Norm was probably the only one deceased?
Oh, no. Johnny Culp, our sax player.
Okay.
Our first sax player, he's gone already.
Never oh, really?
Had a drum bass horn player, Andrew Miller. He's gone.
Really? Okay.
And then my first, who started the band together, Jerry Simnich, he's gone already.
Yeah, that's so, right, too. Yeah.
So, well, I guess there's four of them that are gone already. So.
My goodness, you bet.
So they're all deceased already.
Playing up in the big band in the sky.
Yeah, they're, they're waiting for me to come, I guess. They're
Well, we hope that's not so soon.
Ralph Mayer, drummer.
Oh, yeah. We had another drummer. Was Ralph Mayer, he was. But,
okay.
He wasn't on any of these recordings, though.
Okay. And was he Mel's brother then, or a
no,
cousin?
No, that was a cousin.
Cousin. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and lots of fill-in people like myself there. That was part of the negative of the job back in the days, trying to round up enough musicians to fill out a six-piece band, huh?
Yeah, that and then keep them going.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a lucky thing I belonged to the St. Cloud Musicians Association because if I didn't have a player, I'd always call there, and they'd always fix me up with a pretty good player. And,
well,
and that worked out fine.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that brings us to probably our final point of the interview. Yeah. You are still an officer with
I'm
the—
I'm an officer and a lifetime member. Yeah.
Lifetime member. And what the capacity right now, Al?
Well, I'm just on the board of directors.
Board of directors.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
There's Michael Murphy's is president, and— Gene Retka from Little Falls,
yeah.
You probably know him well.
Yeah. Yep, I do.
He's our secretary.
He's secretary now.
And then Al Stein is still with us.
Okay, yeah.
So that's...
Kind of rounds out the board, huh?
I'm the only concertina player left in part of it. Now, George Savacis was with us. He just passed on.
Yeah, George just a couple years back.
George left, we didn't replace anybody.
Okay.
We just left it off, so...
And just mentioning some of the great players, musicians that were officers, I remember Bill Bock being president for a long time.
For many years, yeah. He was and over to the
and
rest of it.
In spite of his handicap, I mean, he really supported the union, was president, did a great job, and he was also with the big band, the Nocturnes.
We always had a battle with him at the Wings, Wheels, and Water deal.
Yeah.
We were the old time, and he had the big modern band up
there.
And that went on for years when that was going.
And the Wheels, Wings, Water Festival in St. Cloud,
One of our big attractions for the year up there,
sure.
too, that time.
Okay. Year. All right. And then Tom Hislop, he was a longtime drummer, and I know Tom is still going yet, but he's in retirement, obviously, right now. He's up in years, but he was vice president for so many years with Bill.
He was along there,
And then you mentioned Jerry, of course, was what, secretary?
Jerry
Simonich?
No, he was just on the board of directors.
He was just on the board of directors.
Yeah, we were on our board of directors for many years.
Okay. Who else was it? Norm Scherer, of course, was...
Norm Scherer was secretary.
That's who it was,
Before Gene Retka took over from Norm Scherer. Yeah, Norman was for quite a few years there.
Sure. Some great, and boy, they were so loyal, and of course, the Musicians Union back in those years really helped a lot of bands.
They helped a lot of bands, especially when you ran short of a player, and a lot of times it happened. People got sick or some other conflict.
Something came up,
And he had a lot of calls a lot of time. And he was, Bill Bach was pretty good at knowing what you need pretty much. He took care of that pretty much. If you want an old-time player or a good trumpet player for your band, he'd find one for you.
Absolutely.
I think last week you had Dale Damon on.
Yes.
And he recalled picking up his players, too, from the Musicians Association.
Yes, that's right.
And stayed with them for how long? Good people,
Absolutely. You bet. Well, we're running near the end here, Al, but I know I asked you the last time, and I can't remember what you told me, but any fond memories over the years, good, bad, or otherwise?
Well, the nicest memory I have yet is when the Del Room Ball started there.
Eddie Miller,
and we played for the grand opening.
For the Delwyn Ballroom?
We played the grand opening there, so.
Over at St. Joe.
That was really nice. That was a nice ballroom. I hate to see it go, but.
Yeah.
But it was really a nice ballroom.
Yeah.
That's where all these tapes were taped at.
Oh, is that right?
They were taped at the ballroom.
Okay.
And it was a wonderful place to record in because. You don't get too much of that back noise on the stage and stuff when you played up there. It was nice and quiet, and you could hear yourself play, and you could hear the rest of the band play.
Absolutely.
And a lot of bands that came up here says the same thing. It was the best ballroom to play in.
Yeah. And it's just too bad that things went the way they did. If the right ownership would have got in there, it'd probably still be running today yet. But Eddie did the best he could for the years that he lived.
Yeah.
So you bet. Other than that, any other memories that you can think of?
Do
you ever stand up there on stage and look over six guys or five guys, whatever it is, and think to yourself, wow, this is it, huh? This is the big time now.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was always kind of nice. Just the first years when I started playing was really great to play because you hit that first note and you had 20, 30 people on the floor right now. And then they wouldn't give up. You had to play that fort number. So you always had to play a solo or something in there. And
exactly.
That was the greatest thing. And they started at 9 o'clock and 10 to 1, they're still going strong.
Do you ever play for Gesuffa Days here in Albany?
No.
Never got up here. You got there, though, I'm sure.
I got there and I had a hard time getting home.
Yeah. Those were fun times. How about Polka Days in New Ulm? Did you make it down there a few times?
We never got down to that. Being the work conditions that we had, we're always busy working and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we never did take off. But we've been traveling down there now.
Uh-huh.
The varying days and stuff, we go down to that. And different polka fests we go to,
We
hit a lot of them throughout the year. Yeah.
Sure. And that's what I was going to ask you. What's keeping Al and Margie busy these days? You're retired now?
Retired. Yeah, we've been tired since 2002 already.
Okay.
Retired, and that's pretty much when I slowed back with the band and everything.
Sure.
I have two fingers that don't go any good. I damaged my nerve in my elbow. And it don't work anymore. So I kind of gave that up. But outside that, We do a lot of fishing and hunting and traveling. We just got back on a three-day trip from down to Wisconsin Dells.
Well, nice.
We were down there on a honeymoon, so we went back down there on the bus.
There you go.
So we spent three good days down there last week.
Absolutely. So, you bet.
Yeah, we do a lot of that nowadays. And my daughter's building a cabin in Monaga, so we've been working on that. And
we should have mentioned the kids. You were blessed with three children.
Yep.
Tammy is the oldest one?
Tammy's the oldest, yeah.
Okay, and she's married to?
Joe Heinen,
okay. Second one is?
Brian,
and he's got, what, St. Cloud Acoustics right now?
Yeah, he's in that business, and that keeps him busy.
And so. I think he lives here in Albany.
He lives in Albany, yeah.
And married with kids, too?
Two of them.
Two grandkids,
two girls, yeah.
Okay, and then you're very much similar to us. We had an older daughter, Tammy,
yeah.
And so did you, and we had three children, so did you, and we lost one, and so did you.
Scott.
He passed away just, what, a couple of years ago?
No, 3.5 years ago.
2.5 years, okay. Yeah. And he had a heart condition.
Yeah.
And that's hard to say goodbye to him, but we always look at it and say, that's not the way it was meant to be. We're supposed to be first and then the kids later, but...
Don't turn out that way.
No, it doesn't always.
We got no choice on that.
And we find out that time sort of heals a little bit. You never forget them, but that's what happens. So.
Yes.
You bet. Well, good. Yeah. Well, with that, our time is about up for this segment. So we're going to come back with our musicians, musical treat for dancing feet, I should say, here in just a moment. But right now, we're going to wrap up this segment. So, Al, we want to thank you, Al and Margie, for coming in. And like I've told you the last time, good Lord willing, we'll have you on again down the road sometime.
Yeah, I hope we can keep going.
There you go. All right, so with that, we're going to close out this segment, our 157th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. 13 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, 75 our temperature here in Albany. Don't go away, we've got music by the Merrymakers Orchestra. Music that you probably never heard before, so should be some good stuff. The only way you'd have heard it is if you were at those dances where it was recorded. So don't go away, we'll be right back. Razavian is out of town checks. Our theme for Musicians Come and Play here on KASM. 16 now past 12, and we're at 75 degrees here in central Minnesota. Beautiful day in central Minnesota. Well, we're going to move into our musical treat for dancing feet. And right now, Al and Margie sticking around for a while in the studios here. And we're going to start things out. First selection on that new CD by Al and the Merrymakers Band. It's one called the Geidel Polka. This one was actually recorded on the Deutschmeisters and Friends CD, Al, features you on the harmonica.
Harmonica, yep. I used to play harmonica before I played concertina. So,
okay.
I was playing all those numbers before I even started playing concertina.
Really? Yeah. And Tony's on the concertina, and that was your concertina,
E flat, yeah, Stradivarius.
Your E flat Stradivarius. He picked it up. Yeah. And before we get too far, before I forget this, Train, we didn't talk about this earlier in the interview, but you mentioned that you had a different concertina that you used on the recordings.
On
these recordings, the
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
It was
electronic? E-flat.
No, the rest of them.
No, the rest of them are, okay.
The first three were on my E-flat Stradivarius, and
okay.
Then my Arnold concertina was Al's Landler.
Oh, okay.
And then the Stradivarius again on
the other recordings. And you
And after that, they're all on an Elkavox, Stradivarius Elkavox.
Oh, okay.
Starvox, they call them.
Yeah. And you got that
electronics.
And you got that from down in New Ulm?
Butch Wolf got that. Butch Wolf and Brown from New Ulm, they started selling those.
Oh, okay.
And there's a few bands around here that have them. Bob Rennie, I think, has got one. And,
sure.
And I think Donnie Klossner had one for a while. And
yep.
They sold quite a few of them. And Butch himself made an LP on
them. Right, he did.
Which he used my concertina on some of the numbers.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow,
Small World, if you remember.
That's your concertina.
That's my concertina.
Really? Yeah. Wow, little known facts there.
Yeah, little known.
Well, very good. Well, right now we're going to start things out in Ice Old Time Polka featuring Tony and Al and probably Mickey or Lisa, one of the drummers.
I forget which one.
Which
was,
one? Yeah, they were both drumming on some of the numbers. So it was the Deutschmeisters and Friends. It's now on Al and the Merrymakers Band. It's one called the Geidel Polka. Al and the Merrymakers.